You're listening to the Evangel Wichita podcast, recorded live each week at Evangel Assembly of God in Wichita, Kansas. Download each week for fresh, relevant messages from the preaching team. Open your minds. Here we go.
Have you ever been at the airport and now that everything's changed, you know, that there's like a million different fees that you pay when you want to fly? And especially when you want to fly and you want to check bags, there's a fee for every bag that you check. And that every time you want to, you know, check one of those bags, you have to pay extra money on your ticket. And so I brought all these bags. And here's the funny thing about these bags. This, when my parents go to Turkey, this is how many bags they check every time they go. It's pretty close. Pretty close. Yeah, you think I'm joking, but it's pretty close. But have you ever been at the airport and the people, and maybe you're that way too, but you're like going to beat the system. You're not checking a bag because it costs money, right? And so you have a bag like this and you're like, and they're like, sir, that's too big. You can't, that won't fit. No, this fits in the overhead bin. I got it in there last time I flew. You know, this is the bag, it fits. And there's people that carry them in. You're like, that's not going to fit in the overhead bin. No, it will. And then you get on the plane, right? And you're walking and they're trying to cram it in the overhead bin. Have you ever seen those people? And you can't go by. You can't go by because they're trying to cram it. No, wheels first. No, I got to do handles first. Baggage. We try to get around. We try to get around all the baggage fees. Or maybe, maybe you have kids. And I know for Crystal and I can remember when my kids were little. And the bad part is when you're flying with kids is when they hit that age where you have to buy them a ticket now. I think it's two. I can't remember how old it is. But all before that is they could sit in your lap, and all of a sudden you have to buy them a ticket. And so if we wanted to pack a bag for our kids, it would cost extra money for them to check. So we have the idea that we're gonna just pack bags that are small enough so all our kids would get like a little bag like this that we can wheel through the airport, and we don't have to check them, you know, because it's free this way, and we'll fit them in the overhead. And so, you know, but it didn't exactly look like this. My daughter's bag was like all flowery. I remember her little first one in it. Or no, it was princess. And it, she's telling me, yeah, it was princess. And here's the cool part, right? I should have brought that. I don't even know if we have it. But you would push the front and it would light up everywhere. And so it would get bumped, it would start lighting up everywhere. And so princess bag. And that wasn't my son's bag, but that was Alexa's bag. But we decided that we would beat the system and carry our bags through the airport. And so it was a job, right? Each kid, when we would get off, you have to pull your suitcase as we're in the airport, right? That's parents thinking. You got to pull your suitcase as we are at our layover and we're going from plane to plane. You know, you don't take into account that they're four, you know, but you're like, you're going to keep up with me and you're going to pull your own suitcase. We're not paying to check your bag, so you're going to have to do it. So we get off the plane and you know, it's always a rush. You're trying to get to the next gate. You're trying to get there before they leave and blah, blah, blah. And so I can remember being airports at layovers, and we get off the plane and somehow the kids didn't pull their bags anymore. Somehow dad ends up with this bag. I had this bag, and then I had this bag. And then Crystal's trying to get all the kids. So I'm like going like this, thinking, how can I get this bag on top of this one? And then I'm going this. And then we're running through the airport, right? And at first, you also have backpacks. And if your kids are real little, you have a car seat. All the jazz you need to get. And so you're running through the airport. And at first, you're hitting people. And you're like, I got little kids. You know, you can't be mad at me. So, you know, they're like, your kids are screaming because they're hungry. And you're like, stop it. We got to get to the plane. And so, but at first, I remember like putting all my bags together, and I can remember trying to get it to where I could get all the bags together for all four of us, and I'm running to the airport, and I'm like yelling, we got to keep up, we got to get to the next plane. And at first, it wasn't such a big deal. It wasn't so hard to keep track of four bags. But by the time I got like halfway to the other gate, it starts getting heavy. And then you realize that your daughter can't walk anymore. All of a sudden her legs are broken, so you have to pick her up too, you know. And then it's like, what do you mean you can't walk anymore? Like, I can't walk. They decide they're gonna sit down. So it's like you're pulling all the bags you have, and then your kids decide they're not gonna walk anymore, so you're picking them up as well, and you're trying to hustle. And after a while, you get to the plane, right, and you just collapse in the seat, and you're like, I was able to put all the bags down. Thank the Lord they all fit in the overhead compartment, or the flight attendants take it and they gate check it, you know. and you're just like exhausted. Have you been there before? It's all to save a little bit of money. It's all to save a little bit of money. But you get there and you finally realize, ah, I can finally sit down on the plane. I'm exhausted. But you look back at these little bags. What can my five-year-old have in that bag that weighs so much? Shouldn't have very many clothes. But after the baggage starts out very light, very easy to manage. But as you move through the airport, as you start hustling a little bit more, you realize that the bags start to weigh you down a little bit more. They start weighing you down. And you almost get used to it for a while. You almost get used to it. But you're relieved when you can put the bags down and you find collapse in the airplane. It's interesting. I started thinking about that. And then I started thinking, what about life? What about in our lives? In our lives, we all come into life with this idealistic viewpoint of life. Like, this is how life is going to turn out. Like, this is how life should be. This is the way that I'm going to be treated in life. This is the way that people will see me. This is the way that people will treat me. This is how I'll go through life. And then maybe as a child, you hear things like, you're such a disappointment to me. Or, I wish I'd never had you. Or I wish you'd just do something right. And we start to take that. We start to hear that. And it becomes something that we take with us. A piece of baggage, if you will. And it's not that big a deal at first. It hurts. It hurts. But we start going through life. And before long, we get used to it. We get used to it. We start carrying it with us. And it's not heavy at first. But then it starts to get a little heavier, but we manage. But then we keep going through life and we realize, you know what, I'm not really keeping up with the neighbors anymore. When am I going to be able to get the new stuff that they have? I see the new car coming in. I see the boat. I see the new house. I see whatever they get. And we start getting this idea, when am I going to be able to get that stuff? And we start asking ourselves, how can I get that? And then we make decisions financially that bring some more baggage to us. And at first, it's not that big a deal, really. We can manage the baggage, and we can manage life, and we can keep going. But it starts to weigh on us a little bit after a while. Then maybe for us in life, we are a member of a church or something, and someone at church says something mean to us, or they say something to us, and it's like, how could a Christian treat me that way? How could someone in the church do that to me? They're supposed to love Jesus. How could they act that way? I mean, I can't forgive them. And so the hurt comes, and we take another piece of baggage, and we add it to the other baggage that we've had, and we think at first we can manage this stuff, but it gets a little heavy, doesn't it? Starts to get a little hard. Just like the baggage when I'm chasing my kids through the airport, and it's manageable at first, but halfway through I'm dropping bags, I'm trying to pick things up, it's getting heavy. As we go through life, you see, we can pick up pieces of bags, can't we? We can pick up baggage that we didn't even really intend to. And at first it's very manageable. At first it's very easy to deal with. At first we think we're okay. But after a while it gets a little heavy. It gets a little cumbersome. It gets a little inconvenient. But we don't want to tell anybody about our baggage. We don't want to talk about the bags that we're carrying around, because if anyone else saw this stuff, what would they think? What would they think? And before long in life, we keep moving forward and forward, and we get more and more baggage, and we start collecting pieces of luggage, we start collecting baggage, and it starts getting heavy. And we've convinced ourselves, maybe you're here today, we've convinced ourselves that we can manage all these bags on our own. That, you know what? I can handle it. I'm getting pretty good at handling it. I've been doing it for 40 years. I got to be pretty good now. I can handle all of it. You give me another piece, I can do it. But the reality is life gets heavy. Relationships turn sour. You got so much baggage that you find it almost impossible to live according to God's principles. You come to church on Sundays, you come to church on Wednesdays, and you're like, how in the world can I live by those principles? Why? Because the baggage has become so heavy. The reality is you have to get to the point where you finally say, God, take all of this baggage from me. Take all this baggage away. I can't do it on my own. So today, we're starting this series called Baggage Check, and we're going to talk about how we can deal with specific issues of baggage that we may pick up over the years. And today, we're going to kind of take an overview, big general overview of baggage in itself. And we're going to talk about some prayers that you can pray to help you do it. But starting next week, we're going to look at specific pieces of baggage that you may have picked up over the years. Specific pieces. And how they affect you. And how they're impacting your relationship with God, your relationships with other people, your relationship with family. We're going to talk about those starting next week. We're going to look at issues like envy, worry, bitterness, guilt, discouragement. We're going to talk about these types of baggage and what happens when we carry these our whole lives. So today, let's start. Let's get going and broad, a big overview. As you have your notes, I want to look at some Psalms here. Psalm 109, some verses that we read in Psalm 109 from King David. And I think that these verses will hit a lot of us today. Let's look at the first one. Psalm 109, verse 22. Says this, for I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. I am poor and needy. Listen to the next one, 26. This is showing us that we can't do these things by ourselves. 26, help me, O Lord my God. Save me in accordance with your love. And then verse 31. For the Lord stands at the right hand of the needy one. Why? So he will save his life from those who condemn him. So here's the thing. As we start this series, the very, very beginning, I think over the next few weeks, God and the Holy Spirit is going to reveal some pieces of baggage that you may be carrying in your life. But here's what I want to start with today. The very first thing you have to do as we get started, and there's the first blank on your notes, is you need to acknowledge your baggage. You need to acknowledge right here. There are bags all in the front, but you need to start acknowledging your baggage, whatever it is that you're carrying around. But here's the thing. At the very, very beginning, when you acknowledge your baggage, it's going to make you uncomfortable. Okay? Why is it going to make you uncomfortable? Because I don't want to talk about my baggage. I don't want you to see all these bags up here. I don't want you to see how many bags I'm carrying around. I don't want you to see that. I don't want you to know that. I want to hide the baggage, right? I want to hide it. In our house, we have a spare bedroom that's in the basement, okay? And full disclosure here in our house, we call the spare bedroom the hoarder's room. That's where when we have things, I shouldn't even say that. I didn't get permission. But When we get things or want to store things, it goes into the spare bedroom down in the basement. That's where everything goes to be lost, I guess. So it all goes in there, right? And so recently, well, it's been a little bit, but Crystal's brother and his wife came and the family came to visit us. And when they come, they stay in our spare bedroom, which is down in the basement. And when I find out they're coming, it's exciting because we want to hang out with my nieces and it's fun. We like to hang out with them. But then I think, oh no, we have to clean out the spare bedroom because there's no walking in there. You know, it's like, that's exaggerated. You can walk in there barely. But so, you know, we have to clean out the spare bedroom. And I start going down into the spare bedroom. I start looking through it. And it's like, we don't want anyone to know that that bedroom exists. You don't even know it's there. Don't ever open that door if you're in my basement. We don't want you to see that room. It's hidden. And because why? Well, if you saw that room, then we would be embarrassed. You know, it's like, why do they have all this extra stuff in there? Why do they have all these things that's going on down there? It's like a catch-all room, right? You have those kind of rooms? It's a catch-all room that we have. But look, here's the important thing. We have to acknowledge the spare bedroom, right? We have to acknowledge that. We have to acknowledge our baggage. Because look, I'm going to show you Job 7:11. He says this. Therefore, I will not keep silent. Look what he does. I will speak out in the anguish of my spirit. He is saying that he will acknowledge what's going on. He's going to talk about it. He's going to be open. He's going to acknowledge his baggage. He's going to acknowledge the thing that's going on. So the first blank that you are a blank that you have there is, here's the question you have to answer that only you can answer. What is your baggage? What is it? You need to give it a name. You need to give it a, what is the baggage that you've been carrying in your life? Maybe it's spiritual baggage. You had a bad experience at a church one time, and it's hard for you to move from church to a different church, and you're not trusting in churches anymore because you had a bad experience at a previous church, and it's taking you a while to get back into it. Maybe your baggage is with God. Your life hasn't turned out the way you thought it should turn out, and you really have an issue with God. You're angry with God today. Maybe your baggage is with people who claim to be Christians because the way they treat you just shouldn't be the way that they treat you. You don't understand how Christians can come at you this way. You have a problem with hypocrites, and it's become a spiritual piece of baggage that you're carrying around all the time. Maybe it's relationships. Maybe they're relational baggage that you have. People have betrayed you. They betrayed your trust. They've messed you up in life. They've left you alone. And you have a hard time being vulnerable today. Maybe the baggage that you've been carrying have hurt you in ways. They've led you to addictions. They've led you to financial problems. They've even led you to health issues. So we have to start acknowledging the baggage. Whatever this baggage is that we're carrying around, we have to start acknowledging this baggage. What is it that we're walking around with? What is it? What is it? So like I said, as we start today, I want to give you this big answer first. I want to show you how we can prayerfully and intentionally let go of the baggage. And we're going to look at three different prayers that we can pray every day to help let go. And I hope that these prayers will become a consistent part of your life. And then next week, we're going to start looking at specific pieces of baggage, and we're going to talk about how we can handle each specific area. So let's talk about these three prayers this morning. The first prayer is this. I want to pray, God, help renew my mind with truth. Help renew my mind with truth. Renew my mind with truth. I want to show you some words that Paul wrote to the church, to the Romans, the church in Rome. And let's look at the Romans. We'll look at Romans 12 too. You know, many of you will know this verse. It says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He's saying, look, be changed. Be different. Be changed. Be different. Well, Mark, how do we become transformed? Well, he's saying by the renewing of your minds. So then I'm going to take it a step further and say, okay, what does it mean to be renewed by my mind? God, I come to God and say, help me replace the lies that I so often believe with your truth. God, help me to replace it with your spiritual truth. Help me replace it with what the Bible tells me about life and what the Word of God says. You see, the problem is for a lot of us, we've become so comfortable with these pieces of baggage that it's easy for us to hang on to the lie that comes with this piece of baggage. And the reality is, we think if we just ignore it, it's going to go away. Sure, I'm pulling it around with me everywhere, but you know, after a while, it's just going to go away. If I don't pay attention to it anymore, if I just ignore it, it's going to go away. My kids are teenagers. Yeah, pray. But they're teenagers, and now it's their responsibility to mow the lawn. Yeah, my daughter too. She's 16. I'm like, you better believe you're mowing the yard. And so they have to mow the yard. And my son is now starting, he's 13 now, he's starting to mow the yard. And so now it's awesome. I just get a glass of water, watch him mow the yard. So it's beautiful. So, you know, mowing and trimming the yard is part of their deal. And my daughter really gets into it, and Caden is learning now. He just started this summer. But he's learning the patterns that you go around. You know, everybody has patterns in their yard. You know, you go around in crossways, the horizontal, vertical, blah, blah, blah. So they're learning the patterns, and Alexis is getting into it where she knows where the lines have to be straight. She wants them all straight because when she's done, in the front yard especially, she wants to make sure that the lines are straight because everyone drives by and sees it and wants the line straight. And when I was teaching them, especially Alexis and Caden both, they would often, you know, it's hard. They have a push mower. It's not a self-propelled. They are the self-propelled. So It's not a self-propelled mower, so yeah, I feel bad for them. I'm so sorry. Oh, you know, whatever. So anyway, so they are the self-propelled. And so when they turn, a lot of times they would get off and they would miss a strip of grass. You've been there before where you miss it and they just keep going. I missed a piece of grass. It reminded me, my first time out there, you know, you flash back to as a kid when I would mow the yard. I've told this story before too. Yes, I had a riding lawnmower as a kid. But let me tell you, if you knew the house I grew up in, it was a double lot. It was a huge, huge yard. It's not the same. So I was on a riding lawnmower, and my dad, he'll tell you afterwards, he would explain to me that, Mark, you are mowing the yard on this snapper lawnmower. It was snapper riding lawnmower. And he'd say, you're not to go above gear 3. But dad, there's 5. There's 5. There's fifth gear. There's fifth speed, whatever it is. And so I'm thinking, he just doesn't know. If you're going in fifth gear, you get done quicker. You're going faster. I was a child genius, you know. I'm like, if I go in fifth gear, I can get done faster. Now, what did my dad know? He knew that every time I took a corner in fifth gear, I'm on like 2 wheels, and I'm missing half the thing, all the corners. I told the story, but I missed the grass. It was like it didn't mow. I get done. I'm like, record time. So I go in. My dad would come home, and he would come into my room and say, Mark, you need to go out and finish the yard. I'm like, what are you talking about, Dad? He said, what speed did you mow? And I'm like, probably third, you know. He said, do you want to answer that again? No. That's a trick question, right? I plead the fifth. So anyway, he would take me outside and show me. I know you're in fifth gear. How do I know? Because you missed all the corners everywhere around this big yard. And I was like, I thought that would go away. I thought that would just disappear. You wouldn't notice. But no, you see strips of grass everywhere. Every corner of the yard, there's strips of grass where I did not touch. I'd have to go back and go over it again. I had this idea that, you know, it would just go away after a while. It would just go away. My kids have this idea that those strips of grass don't really matter. It'll go away. Eventually the grass will grow even somewhat again. But we have this idea with our bags, right? We take a hold of this baggage. And those strips of grass act like the wrong thoughts that we put in our minds, the lies that we hold on to, the wrong mindsets that we take. They don't go away. They don't go away. We find this bag stays with us all the time. And so for a lot of us this morning, we've become so locked in, and we believe the lies that we believe for so long that the lie becomes the truth in our mind. That this bag is just the truth. It becomes the truth in our own mind, even though it is so far from the truth that God's placed in his word, but we have no idea. We have no idea because we've been carrying it for so long. We just think it's going to go away at first. Yeah, but it's hanging around. I keep pulling it. And we live according to the lie as if it were a truth. We live according to the lie as if it were a truth. And that is incredibly unhealthy. There are some of you in this room that have bought into the lie that you cannot possibly have a good marriage. That it's just the way it is. This is life. This is how it is. I cannot have a good marriage. There are some of you that have bought into the lie and are carrying the piece of baggage that says, I can never make a difference in the world. Me, I am nobody. I cannot make a difference in this world. There are some of you in this room that are carrying the piece of baggage that says you are not talented enough. You have this belief that I am not talented enough. I don't have anything to offer. I am not talented enough. There are some of you that have faced so many addictions that you just think, it's the piece of baggage I have to carry. That is the truth. Some of you believe that your finances will never turn around. That some of you think that you will never get to a place in your life that you can be generous. There is never a time where I can ever be generous with God because that's just not my financial life. The truth is, I'm always going to be struggling. But his truth sets us free. His truth. So you have to come to this point. What is the wrong mindset that you are grasped onto? You have to acknowledge the wrong mindset, the lie that you've been holding on to. And you have to ask God to help renew your mind with truth. With truth. Look at Ephesians 4:22. Ephesians 4:22, Paul's writing this. He says, you were taught, so that tells me this is something that you learned. You have learned this. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. You see, that's what happened. So why? Why should we do that? Look at verse 23. To be made new. How? In the attitude of your minds. And to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. When we do this, when we say, God, renew my mind with your truth, we let go of the bags. We let go of the baggage. So what mindsets need to be renewed in your life today? What mindsets? See, there's a place in your notes that you can list. What are the mindsets that need to be renewed in your life this morning? You need to begin to acknowledge the baggage today. Acknowledge it today. That's the first prayer. Renew my mind with your truth, God. Renew my mind with your truth. And that's the truth of his word. If you're not spending time in the word, you're not going to learn the truth. You're going to find it so easy to believe the lies. You got to spend time in the truth. Number two, the second prayer. God, help restore what's lost. Help restore what's lost. Many of us will relate to the first part of this verse found in Psalm 71:20. Look at the psalmist writes. Though you have made me see troubles, right? Many and bitter. Look what happens there. You will restore my life again from the depths of the earth. You will again bring me up. Question, where are you today? Do you feel discouraged? Are you at a place where you don't feel any hope? What have you lost? Does it seem like it's so much that it's overwhelming? I want you to know this morning that there is a God here that specializes in finding that which was lost and restoring the things that are broken. That's God. That's God. He finds the things that are lost. He restores the things that are broken. It reminded me when I read that. That he restores the things that are broken. I don't know if you're a do-it-yourself person. But I try to be sometimes, and that's dangerous. My daughter bought an iPod back before she had her phone. This is like the steps into the phone before we gave her a phone. And it was a nice iPod. And somehow, I don't even remember how it happened, but the screen broke on the iPod. And I started going to the YouTube, and I'm looking at all these videos and how you can fix the screen that's broken and cracked on an iPod. And I thought, that's not that hard. I can do that. Had links to all the things we need to buy. So I click it, go to Amazon, buy the pieces that I need to fix this iPod screen. And I'm thinking, how hard could this be? How hard could it be to fix an iPod screen, right? So I get it. And I get her iPod, I get all the tools in the mail, and I'm working on it. I get the screen off, and I'm in there. And it's like not made for like fat fingers or anything like that. You got to go in there, all these tiny things. You're using these little tweezers, and it's like crazy. I'm watching a YouTube video. It's so easy. The YouTube video is like a minute long. I'm like hours into this thing. And I got the screen off, and Alexis is just like, you're ruining my iPod. You should have taken it to the store to get it fixed. And I said, if I break your iPod, I will buy you a new iPod. I can do that. That was mistake number one. Actually, that's mistake number two. My one was trying to fix it. But so I'm like, yeah, I'll just buy you a new one if it's broken. So I get it all. I get the screen, new screen on. I'm putting it back together. I'm cramming everything back in there. They cram a lot inside those little bad boys. It's amazing. And so I'm getting everything in there. I've closed it. And it's like, it doesn't really close all the way. I can't get it, but I'm like, that's great. And I turn it on, and it comes on. I'm like, hallelujah, it came on, you know. And she turns it on, and it won't connect to the Wi-Fi. Who needs Wi-Fi? Just listen to music, you know, who cares? She's like, Dad, I need my Wi-Fi. So I'm like, okay, great. So I got to take it all, or I start to, no, here's what happened. I remember, I take it, I don't know what's wrong, we can't connect it to Wi-Fi, finally give up, and I take it down to a store that's going to repair it. The guy takes one look at it and says, what did you do to this iPod? I'm like, nothing. My daughter broke it. He said, you bought the stuff. He knew exactly what I did. And, you know, you can't lie to those guys. I'm like, whatever. So, not that I would. But anyway, so he's taking it apart. He's like, when you're repairing it, you cut through the Wi-Fi cable. It's right here. I'm like, oh, I thought that was just like a piece of wire. But it was pretty important. So I ended up buying my daughter a brand new iPod. But here's the point. I know a God that is much more aggressive, that when he goes and looks for things that are lost or things that are broken, he wants to fix those things. He can do it. He doesn't have to watch YouTube, right? He can just do it. Look in the book of Luke. We see Jesus tell these stories reflecting the heart of God towards that which is lost. You look at Luke chapter 15. He talks about a shepherd that has 100 sheep, loses one, right? And one of them wanders off and gets lost. He leaves the 99 and goes and looks for the one that is lost, right? Then he goes into the next part. There's a woman who had 10 coins. She loses one coin, and she would tear her house apart until she found that lost coin. The final part is there's a man who had 2 sons. One of the sons runs off with his inheritance and does his own thing, and the father is spending each day waiting and hoping that the son would one day come home. And when the lost son was found, when the coin is found, when the missing sheep is found, there is a huge party to throw. It's a celebration. Why? Because God cares for the lost and he cares for the broken. So here's the deal. God cares about you this morning. He cares. He cares about the baggage that you're carrying around. He cares about that. He wants to help you with this piece of baggage that you have. You matter to him. You matter to him. He wants you to let go of the baggage. Jeremiah 30:17 says something so incredibly powerful. He says, I will restore you to health and heal your wounds, declares the Lord. So the question, what is it that God wants to restore in your life this morning? You see, there's a space in your notes that you can write down. What is it that God needs to restore in your life this morning? What is something that you've lost? You see, God specializes in restoring that which was lost and broken. The third prayer that I want to touch on. This is hard. God, help me release my offender. God, help me release my offender. We don't like this one very much. So you ask the question, why is this prayer so important, Mark? Because the truth is, there are so many people that are carrying around baggage of bitterness and unforgiveness. They carry it with them every single day. They have hatred towards other people because they've offended them. And you know what? It may be justified because they really did do something bad to you. And you know what? This is such a big piece of baggage, and we're going to talk about this in the coming weeks. We're going to look at this even more specifically, how we carry around these things of bitterness, unforgiveness. We carry it with us. But look at what Paul says. Colossians 3:13. Look what he says. Bear with each other and do what? He says, forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone. But you're like, well, how do I do it? How do I do it? That's the natural question. How can I possibly do it? And he says, he answers right there, right? Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Wow. We go on map trips a lot, men together. And when you're together for a week in a foreign country, things go crazy a lot. And men without their families, it's a fun trip. But a lot of times we spend our downtime hanging out, talking, hanging with each other, and someone will bring a deck of cards, and we'll play cards together. Usually, sometimes they bring a Dutch Blitz, sometimes they bring Skip Bo, sometimes they bring cards, and we'll play spades. And I don't know if you like playing spades, hearts, but spades was a popular card game for a while on our map trips, and we get teams, and guys get a little competitive, you know. We like to compete in spades, and you know, spades is all about how many of the hands you can win, and you and a partner are guessing, and you're trying to beat the other two guys. And so I can remember playing spades for hours on these trips, and we'd be in the lobby, probably should have gone to bed, but we're up late playing spades and these different cards. But I know in spades, there is one card, right, that trumps all of them. There is one card that if you get this card, you know that you at least have one hand. You can win one hand with one card, right? And you guys know what that is? The Ace of Spades. If you have the Ace of Spades, you know that you get one card. You get one hand. You know you at least have one. And here's what I found when I was thinking about spades and thinking about that trump card. I got one. There are a lot of people that walk around life holding on to that trump card in their life. When they're hurt, when they're pulling this piece of baggage of hurt and unforgiveness and bitterness, they're going to hold on to that trump card, right? I'm going to hold on to that Ace of Spades. I'm going to keep it close because I know at any point, I can use this Ace of Spades and I'm going to win. I will use it on whoever I need to because I'm holding it close. It comes with this bag. I got something and I'm going to hold it. It may not be today. It may not be tomorrow, but it's coming. And I'm going to keep it with me because I know I at least have one trump. And I'll use this card to hurt that other person if I have to. You hurt me, I'm hurting you. I'm going to throw it down. I'm going to use it. We hold on to this offense. We hold on to this trump card to use when we feel like. But I'm here to tell you this morning. Just because someone has sinned against you, just because someone may have hurt you, doesn't give you the right to hold a grudge and wait for that moment to do the same thing back to them. It's a baggage. It's a piece of baggage you're carrying around. It's weighing you down. Look what Jesus teaches in Luke chapter 6. He says, love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. You need to get rid of the Ace of Spades that you're holding on to. Don't play the card. Let it go. And there are some people that have been holding on to this piece of baggage for so long that they look for ways to be offended because they're holding on to it. They don't know how else to live. So I'm going to hold on to this bag so long that I actually look for ways to be offended. I'm looking for people to get upset at. And I've learned this quickly that I need to let go and lay down the offense. Because it gets really heavy to carry this piece of baggage with me every single day. And I've come that and this may be hard to believe, but since became the pastor here, I've come to find out that not everyone likes the decisions I make. I didn't think that was possible. But it's true. And there are times when I could hold on to this so much, they're so wrong. They just don't get it. They hurt me even. I don't even understand why they say that. And I could hold on to this bag because it's easy. But it starts weighing me down. I start thinking about it more and more. And it gets to be too much. I got to lay it down. Yeah, Mark, that's great. That's so easy for you. You're the pastor. You have to do that, right? That's such an easy thing for you to say. But I'm really trying to learn from the example of Jesus who said on the cross, Father, forgive them. I want to learn to hurt for those who hurt me. And in the same way that I hurt and do the wrong things, I want to forgive as the Lord has forgiven me. So in your notes, there's a place. Can you write down? Who do I need to forgive? Who do I need to forgive? Who is it that's hurt me? Who is it that I need to forgive today? The reality is, these three prayers, right? Renew my mind with your truth. Restore, God, that which is lost. And by your power, help me, God, release my offender. Because we've come in, there's some of you in this place, you're like, yeah, I've come in with a lot of bags. I've been carrying a lot of baggage. A lot of things that I've been taking around with me. And at first, I thought I could manage it. At first, I thought I could get through. But it's so heavy. It's so heavy. And I wonder why my spiritual life isn't where it should be. I wonder why my relationship with my family isn't where it should be. I wonder why things aren't going the way they should be. It's so heavy, Mark. It's so heavy. And you're in the place today and you want to come to the spot where you let go of some of the baggage. You let go. If I do that, I got to admit that I have it, right? It's a scary place to be. I would say today is your opportunity to lay the bags, to set them down, release them, leave them at the foot of the cross, leave them at the feet of Jesus, and say, I want a new life. I don't want to believe the lies anymore. I want to move forward in your truth. I want to move forward in your freedom. I want to move forward with you. This isn't normal. This isn't the way life has to be. This is not the way God designed you to live. But we take up and we think, oh, I got one more. And we take three bags. We take more bags. This isn't the way. This isn't the way.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. For more great teaching, check us out on the web at evangelwichita.org or connect with us at facebook.com/evangelwichita.